Do you like comics? Do you like meeting the talented creative teams behind comics? Do you like a bit of cosplay? Do you like doing things local to you? If you said yes to all of the above, and even if you didn't, you should check out the Dunfermline Comic Con on March 30th at the Glen Pavilion. An excellent day out in the kingdom, brought to you by the lovely team at the Little Shop of Heroes on the Maygate, Dunfermline. Tickets are £10 for adults, £5 for juniors, and under 11s are free. Find out more at littleshopofheroes.co.uk or in the link in the episode description. Fife fans, and welcome back to Scotland's premier Fife-based podcast, Fife Club, where a couple of friends chat about anything and everything that takes their interest, putting their world to rights. What's the first rule of Fife Club?
Talk about Fife Club. If you want.
So much enthusiasm.
I was trying to think of a new and original way to say it, and I can't. I'm just out of it. I feel like we need to change. We need a new rule.
I left training early tonight to come do this, and because the class was running late, and I said, oh, I've got to go do a podcast recording, and this guy Trevor was, oh, do you have a podcast? And I went, yeah, it's shite though. and then Dave went, yeah, it is.
Thanks, guys.
This nagging thing's worked for me in the past with getting this podcast out there, so I'm sticking to it.
Just nag on it.
Yeah.
Great, thanks. Well, I suppose if people are going to talk about Fife Club, where would they send the good listeners, Jamie?
Well, you could speak to us on Facebook at facebook.com/Fife Club Pod or at Fife Club, Twitter at Fife Club. Email ken@fiveclub.co.uk, website www.fiveclub.co.uk, or on Instagram, it's just Fife Club.
Yeah, that's it. That'll do.
Aye.
Very soon should be on Radio Haver as well.
Ooh.
I still can't figure out which episode's going to be the first episode on. Might be this one.
No. So could you just explain to me what Radio Haver is and how it works?
So Radio Haver is an online radio channel. That's brilliant, kind of it.
Yeah, it just plays podcasts.
What are you going to do with it? So it just plays podcasts?
Yeah. No,
so
they're playing music and shows, but it's like what they want to do is sort of showcase the best of Scotland and other...
I've got a flaw here
with
my earlier statement, and now they want the... No.
Yeah. It's just showcase content from Scotland and around the world as well. Stuff with maybe a bit of a Scottish slant. And music from independent artists, just to get them out there.
Some American podcasts in there as well, because in a group chat with me, Kutcher, for it, they pointed out, Kutcher did a trailer for them.
Yeah.
It's very good. And in the trailer, he pointed out, he says, oh, you might want to look at Craig's pronunciation of Haver, because I think some Americans were saying Haver.
Oh, those dumb Americans. Is it mostly Scottish? Is the music all Scottish?
I think it's possibly from all over the place.
I only like to listen to Scottish music.
But I think there is...
I don't really like foreign music.
Foreign music.
I want something that's just Belle and Sebastian, Idlewild, back to back with the odd bit of Calvin Harris thrown in. All I want to listen to.
Calvin Harris, he gets the foreigners in though. He gets like folk from... Bristol.
That's fine. Foreigners are welcome. Foreigners are welcome to listen to Scottish music. I just don't want to listen to theirs.
He's good on Twitter, Calvin Harris, actually.
Yeah, he is.
No,
yeah, he's quite funny.
But anyway, yeah, that's Radio Haver. And
he tells people he's Scottish a lot, actually. Keeps saying, oh, you're from the UK. And he's like, I'm Scottish.
But yeah, we're going to be on it. We're one of the shows that's going to be on it. The late night slot, but hey.
Due to my potty mouth.
Are we like after hours?
Yeah, although it looks like there's possibly ones that are worse than us, maybe, by the sounds of some of the trailers. So hey ho, let's see how it goes. Be interesting.
I'm having an issue with my cup of... options only 39 calories hot chocolate here.
Uh-huh.
Kutch made me a really nice, lovely cup of hot chocolate, and it's in like this artisan mug, which has cats on it and stuff like that. It has the least ergonomic handle I have ever come across.
Would you like me to change cups for you?
I physically can't pick it up and hold the microphone at the same time.
I could get you another cup.
No, it's fine. I'll struggle on, but I just want the listeners to know about Max, the struggle.
Stop complaining about stealing Kutch's wife's last hot chocolate, which is what you did.
She gave me permission. It's fine. It's an interesting. I wouldn't call it a hot chocolate. I'd call it an Options 39 calorie brown beverage.
Yeah.
Anyway.
It is what it is.
If the listeners hear me randomly squealing, it's because I've poured hot chocolate all over myself.
Now, the only other thing about the Radio Haver thing is that we'll probably be, the episodes that will be on will probably be about 2 weeks out. And that's just to give everybody the opportunity in case something goes wrong.
But they'll be behind on our up-to-date local news that we're going to talk about.
But
behind
what we can on, then do... Fife News is so far behind anyway in time that it's,
no,
actually,
really
it's actually perfect.
But what we can then do is drive them towards the website to listen to the most up-to-date
When he said
ones.
This, when he said this, I was like, oh, clever, now you can reward fans who switch over to the...
Get newer content. Yeah, because we really have... But, most up-to-date stories.
But you know what? Some people really... most up-to-date
red
stories.
Red hot stories. Wait till you hear what we're going to talk about, listeners. Oh my God.
You're going to love it.
Red hot.
So I suppose we've gone on a wee bit, and I suppose I should really just kind of get on with things and introduce the people that are here today. So on the mics with my good self, Kutch, tonight is the embodiment of the discount retail outlet Poundland. He's full of shite and really cheap. It's Jamie.
Hello.
And next to him is our own charity shop of your choice, covered in secondhand clothing. And although it might look fresh and hip on the outside, it's still run by an old woman on the inside. It's Mags.
That one was cutting. That cut to the core of Mags.
That is my essence. It's very true.
Yeah, so that's us today. A little threesome again.
What shop are you?
What shop are I?
You not do yourself
no,
a shop?
I don't do myself.
There's only three of us tonight, so I thought you might do your own shop. Nah. What shop would Kutch be?
I don't know. I can't think of anything.
A comic book shop that's like... kind of a bit sweaty and smelly inside.
So a comic book shop.
And you think it should be populated by children, but actually it's grown men. It's men that have never grown up.
Does kind of sound like Little Shop of Heroes. The best
place.
Hi
guys,
in town.
You guys are awesome.
Favorite shop at the high school. Yeah. Anyway, sorry, that was my rubbish attempt. Totally unprethought through.
No, that is essentially every comic book shop, and it's what they thrive on and what everybody goes to the comic book shop for. Yeah, great stuff. Thanks. Kind of a wee bit of a high street theme to the introductions this week.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We've got some sad local news.
It's an item.
Sort of sad.
It's I have to say, this is possibly, when I saw this, I thought this is the perfect Fife Club story because we get to talk about pancakes and the pancake place whilst also slagging off Kirkcaldy.
It's like it was just made for us.
I know,
wasn't it?
It's like.
The unfortunate news is that the pancake place in Kirkcaldy is going to be shutting down.
Mm-hmm.
And if Kirkcaldy already didn't have much going for it, that was probably one of the few things.
Do you remember we used to say that, like, the sign of a dying town is when McDonald's leaves?
Yeah.
But McDonald's left Kirkcaldy about 15 years ago.
Yep.
And now the Scottish institution that is the pancake place is now leaving. So what does that say about Kirkcaldy High Street, really?
Yeah.
No.
It is genuinely... like it gets me down Kirkcaldy High Street.
Yes.
Like, but not in a serious way, because it's you know, dying. Like, absolutely dying. Didn't they have a couple of big stories recently?
Yeah. So also this week, Marks and Spencer's is closing.
Yep.
In Kirkcaldy.
No, not Dunfermline.
Everybody loves Marks and Spencer's in Dunfermline. Marks and Spencer's closing in Kirkcaldy. And then it's a couple of years ago now, but the big one in Kirkcaldy was Tesco's closed.
Yeah.
It was like Tesco did close a few of its stores a few years ago, and like only two of them were in Scotland, and one of them was in the postings in Kirkcaldy.
And the postings.
That's weird, because you think of a lot of high street stuff closed. Then,
so the reason why Tesco's closed though was because I find this kind of thing interesting. You can switch off now if you're not interested in high street retail lease agreements. So Tesco's didn't own the store in the posting. It was one of the very few stores that they rented.
They like to build their own.
Whereas they build their own or they buy the property. Yeah. And so why you often
Land bank.
Well, it's often why you see, if you notice like the Tesco Expresses and like town centre stores and things like that are often in new builds. Like you get it in Edinburgh a lot, there'll be a block of flats and then there'll be like a Sainsbury's or a Tesco at the bottom. Yeah. It's because they buy it.
Sainsbury's is in new builds.
Exactly. Whereas the one in Kirkcaldy they were renting and they don't like doing that. Also, you know, everybody's getting out of Kirkcaldy, including Tesco's. But I do feel sorry for them. And I do think it's...
It is, because, I mean, as much as we do rubbish Kirkcaldy, spent a bit of time there as a kid because I had family through there. And Kirkcaldy High Street, actually... Kirkcaldy High Street used to be...
Yeah.
It used to be kind of better than Dumfermline.
When I was a kid, we used to... go to Kirkcaldy to go shopping.
Yeah.
Because it was like, if you don't want to go to Edinburgh but or then you had the or, you know, two, wherever else.
You had the Postons and then you also had the Mercat and then there was the indoor.
And they had a better, they had the bigger Reject as well.
There was a few different.
Has Reject shut in Kirkcaldy?
No.
That is an institution that will probably be there forever.
I took my mum to Rejects.
If anybody doesn't know, any listeners not from Fife, Rejects is a proper old school department store.
It has everything in it.
Yeah, haberdashery, like ironmongers,
garden centre. Yeah. Even though it's in the middle of town,
it does act. I think it's a pretty banging cafe.
Paint all your DIY stuff. Oh, the best
home
kitchen.
Furnishings.
It has the best kitchen equipment shop in all of Fife.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Love that. Well, I took my mum because she needed some material and I got all excited and I hyped her up because she was looking for material and I thought we'll go to the cafe because she'll like the cafe and stuff. It was a Saturday, but I thought, you know, it was the last Saturday in November, won't be too busy, we should still have a nice thing. It was the weekend that the Santa's Grotto opened.
Christ.
And for some fucking reason, they thought the best place in the department store...
Can I just ask, did your mum... stand you outside with a note telling you that you weren't allowed to participate
to be honest, I did not want to go in Santa's Grotto, but they put the bloody grotto in the haberdashery department.
Oh, Jesus.
And we were looking for material and there were all these little shits running round pulling the material off of the rolls when we were trying to look for lace netting so my mum could make some new curtains. And it was like hell on earth. For any of the listeners who are familiar with Rejects, the haberdashery is down in the basement. Like it's like on the ground floor, you go down all the steps and it's down in the bottom. And it was, the grotto was in one corner and the queue went all the way around this basement bit. And all these kids were screaming. Why do children scream?
Mags, you're leaning hard into Cutchy's intro here of you.
Sorry. Complaining about children whilst buying net curtain material does not make me an old woman. So I feel like my mum. Also, there was like some horses outside that they put some antlers on and pretended that they were reindeers, and they were
really
seriously. They had like a cart thing, and I think that they'd be planning to take kids around the Aldi car park in it, but it was really busy. You couldn't get parked anywhere and stuff like that. So they were packing up the horse and sending the horse home. So
the thing about Rejects was that's not even in the high street; it's up and way around. So
exactly, I know. But I need to take my mum back to Rejects because she didn't see the best of Rejects because there were all the children there.
I'm still stuck on horses with antlers.
I swear to God, it was horses pretending to be reindeer.
I suppose you don't really get, you get like deer in the deer centre, but if you introduce them to high street, they'd still skewer the shit out of loads of kids.
So mind you, a horse with fucking antlers, that's terrifying.
Yeah, but you can train, you know, there's loads of trained horses.
Yeah.
How many trained deer are there?
But still, the image of a horse with a fucking, Jesus.
Yeah. Were they, I need to know more about this, were they like small crap antlers or were they like large horse size antlers?
They were proportionate.
Proportionate to horse. They were fucking huge.
Well, no, they were like sparkly antlers. They weren't like... They weren't like actual antlers off of the deer that they put on the horse.
I didn't think they'd sew bloody antler deers
to a horse's head.
Sculpted deer and sewn it up to a horse.
Merry fucking Christmas, kids.
Oh, that's so horrific.
Oh, God. No, they were more like, you know, like when people go on a Christmas night out and they have like a fun headband with some antlers on. It's like that, but they put it on a horse. And it, but it was a it was horse appropriate size. So yeah, and they were like pulling like a trailer.
I feel like there's a hung like a horse joke in there somewhere, but I can't quite get to it.
Anyway, that was right, but. Going back to the pancake place,
This is the real stories we give you, listeners.
I know,
breaking news.
Well, like, I just thought there might be some people out there who have never been to the pancake place, which
I was talking to some people today who that were from Kirkcaldy, and they've only ever been once, and it's been there.
Well, and
40 years.
They're never going to get to go again now, because... I would just like to point out, I do think, like, so in my head, the pancake place is a chain, like a Scottish wide, because when we were growing up, there were pancake places everywhere. And they were a chain.
I think it's mostly East Coast, isn't it?
Like,
No, it's not in Oban.
Oban,
We used to go to pancake place in Oban at Christmas.
The one in Oban was the place that first introduced me to cheesy bean pancakes.
I've probably been there a couple of times, because I went to Oban a couple of times as a kid.
I think to explain as well, the pancake place, in case there's any sort of, like, even further down south or international listeners.
We have international listeners there.
Yeah, we do.
All the people in
Ghana.
Don't
forget our Ghana.
The Ghana listenership will not know what the pancake place is.
If you're thinking about pancake place, if you're thinking somewhere like, what is it? What's the big one in Amsterdam? There's a big pancake place in Amsterdam, and there's like loads of ones out in the States
smoking
as well.
Pancakes in Amsterdam are fucking... No.
It's like... It's
I
like,
might have been a bit biased at the time. My judgment might be a bit off. But they were fucking great.
Well, remember, we went hunting for pancakes.
Yeah.
Because it was my birthday.
Oh, it was. Yeah. So we have a tradition of going to the pancake place
on
someone's birthday. Yeah.
To the point where Lizzie actually thought that you weren't allowed to go to the pancake place unless it was your birthday. it's not like that. It's not like any other kind of pancake. It does pancakes, but... Like breakfast, you get a full Scottish breakfast with three
pancakes
side of it with maple syrup, and it's amazing. It's like you've got.
Do you?
Yeah.
Question about breakfast.
Uh huh.
Do you save the pancakes and have them as a pudding, or do you incorporate them into your fryer?
I incorporate.
No, I have them as a pudding. I can't do that.
Oh no, I incorporate.
You disgust me.
A wee bit egg bacon black pudding with
a sweet pancake.
With a sweet pancake and maple syrup.
Yeah.
Oh.
These are like American style. Well, they're not
Scottish style.
They're big Scotch
pancakes. They're sweet Scotch pancakes, which is not a thin crepe, but it's not a big fat thing like the American ones like that. It's kind of it's like a drop scone. A drop scone, my mum always calls them.
They're also very famous for is doing weird, bizarre, savoury flavours.
So I made the mistake. Like, I've not been at the pancake place for years, but I did go one year on my birthday. Lizzie was down, and me and Lizzie, I remember we went to the pancake place for lunch, and then we took a bottle of wine each to the cinema and went to watch a Zac Efron film. And we were quite drunk by the time we came out the other end. But I made the mistake that day of having their savoury curry pancakes, because I thought chicken curry on a pancake, that sounds nice. Not realising that when you order the savoury option, it's only the filling that's savoury, and it's still the
sweet
Scottish pancake, but they just pour curry on.
See the coronation chicken. Coronation chicken on their pancakes. Oh,
mate,
you want to
so you're making me feel sick.
And then, like I say, cheesy bean pancake as well.
Oh, mate. Oh.
Is that on the menu, a cheesy bean pancake?
It used to be. I don't know if it still is.
But they also do, they have a whole sweet section, and you can get all different toppings, like your classic pancakes.
I'm more like your with ice cream and banana and like...
Or just even like your Canadian
Canadian style ones. Yeah,
Your three massive pancakes, like three massive jugs of maple style.
Of course it's not real. You've only paid £4.50 for your pancakes.
Yeah.
They give you like half a litre of syrup.
And also like three tubs full of butter.
Butter.
Yeah.
Do you know what people like do heists of maple syrup?
Yeah.
It's worth so much that they go and just do
it. Canada's two biggest heists, like currency-wise, were maple syrup.
Yeah. I was in Canada a few years ago, and I remember thinking, oh great, I'll like buy loads of maple syrup to bring it back, thinking it would be cheap. No, it's fucking expensive. expensive, even in Canada. And there were like whole aisles of the supermarket that was dedicated to all these different maple syrups, but they were still like... like, nothing under 10 quid for a bottle of, like, a small bottle of maple syrup.
I did mean to ask my cousin to bring some over, actually, when he came over. But he did bring me a lovely bottle of Canadian Royal.
Yes.
Which we had last Christmas. I had half of it, and I hadn't touched it for some reason. Uh-huh. And then we had some of it at New Year's.
Is that a whiskey?
Yes. Yeah. It's actually, it's a rye whiskey, but it's nice.
It's really good. It's really good. It smells, how it smells, which is quite ethery, and I think we both said virgin oak.
Yes.
Yeah.
Wanky whiskey chat.
Sort of like quite, there's a lot of alcohol comes from it, but it tastes so completely different, like creamy.
Yeah.
I think we said rhubarb and custard.
Yeah, sweeties. Man.
Yeah, like it's banging. Really tasty. Banging.
But has a bit of a bad reputation, like has a mixed reputation.
Yeah, but
like some people seem to love it and some people seem to think that how we'd think of like grouse or something.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it's much better, isn't it?
Much better than that. Yeah.
Still smells like disinfectant. All whiskey smells like disinfectant.
But you get burns. Nice smells of that. Sometimes, do you know, Toby Mori does smell a lot, what Kutch is on the now, does smell a little bit of disinfectant, but in a nice way.
No. Pears. I had some...
pears and honey.
Yeah, but...
you need to get yourselves on Palinka. I had some Palinka over Christmas and New Year. Palinka's this fruit brandy that they drink in Hungary and Romania. Ooh. And like, as you know, I'm not a spirit drinker, but Palinka's like magic liquid that gets you really giggly drunk and you don't have a hangover the next day. Like, it's totally amazing. Everyone just makes it Palinka. In their houses. P-A-L-I-N-K-A. Palinka.
I might have to.
And the traditional one is traditional one's made with plums, but you get different. You get cherry and you get peach.
Whatever fruit.
Yeah. Plums sound good though. Plums sounds good.
You can't taste the fruit because it just tastes pure alcohol, but somehow it doesn't burn. But my mum's, I've been looking for it like ever since I got back a couple of years ago, and I was like, oh, I need to find some Palinka, and I've never been able to find anywhere that sells it. But my mum had a friend that just came back from holiday to Hungary, and she brought her back some. Mum's specific was like, can you get some Palinka? So we had it at Christmas. It was so strong, so it's like 50%. And I poured it into the glass, and I was like, I'm going to have a wee like swirl around and sniff it and stuff. It made my eyes sting. Like, I had to like close my eyes while drinking it, because otherwise my eyes watered because the alcohol was so strong. But
that's a good sign.
Yeah,
I know. Cat's strength, that's what
it gives you all
still strength, I think.
Yeah,
is the term.
Yeah, yeah, that's true.
It gives you a warm glow inside that makes you feel like communism and authoritarian dictators aren't so bad after all.
I always an Arbkin.
So I made me think, whose birthday is it next on the podcast? And can we go to the pancake place?
I'm shit with birthdays. It's not mine. Mine's October.
Mine's is April.
It'll be yours.
Yeah, is my birthday yours. Next? Is
unless,
no one, we're not got
James
anyone
or
else.
Dave or sooner.
Oh, I can't remember.
Do we know?
I have no idea. Oh, no. Right. We're just my friends.
Yeah. I don't know what the birthday is. I don't know. I turned the... Craig still gets... My other half Craig still gets... like, still gets a an alert from Facebook every morning telling him whose birthday it is. Do you know, is that only the first thing you do when you get a new phone and download the app, is like instantly turn off the birthday alerts? Because I don't give a shit. I do not care whose birthday it is.
I don't get an alert, but it's there.
Aye, it's there.
Like, I see it on when I'm on it.
Yeah, if you're on Facebook. No, Craig, it's like an alert to his phone to say it's so-and-so's birthday today.
No.
No.
I said song about that on my last birthday thing. I said, like, usual thing. I said, oh, thanks for my birthday wishes. And for those of you who did not wish me a happy birthday, that's honestly okay. I usually forget / can't be bothered as well. And that's a bit, loads of people on that. Like, I got much more replies than I usually would. Like, oh, happy birthday.
I was
only joking.
I didn't even really get annoyed. I don't do it. My birthday isn't on Facebook because what's the things? Like, you'll
never get a happy birthday from me then.
No, exactly. No, I don't get happy birthday and things. But when I used to have my birthday on Facebook, I used to genuinely get annoyed because all these people who I actively didn't like and hadn't spoken for a long time wish me happy birthday. Like, fuck you. Don't even like you. Don't know why you're on my Facebook. Unfriend. Yeah. There's something really deeply satisfying about unfriending somebody.
On your birthday.
It's just wish like me happy birthday.
It's like an extra special little treat.
it's like they've given you a bunch of flowers and you've just kicked them in the balls.
Unfriend you because don't like it.
I'll take the flowers.
Yeah. But you do realise that, like, the amount of information people put on Facebook that's basically your like your security questions for your bank. Yeah. Like, yeah. What's your date of birth? Oh, what's always, your mother's maiden name?
It's always the yeah. holiday pics. We were on holiday or we were at the airport now. Yeah, it's like, yeah.
Come
now,
rob me.
Yeah. Now every and the public profile as
but
well.
I think that's why people don't care about all the Snowden stuff we're talking about. Because everybody gives up their information for free.
Yeah. Like, so absolutely.
Tells you when you're going and where. Yeah. And, you know.
Yeah. Well, to the point that, you know, your smartphones can tell you when you're going to work and give you your all your traffic information and everything like that. Because they know when you leave the house every day.
How do they know when? I don't have my GPS on.
But that's if you've got your GPS on, it doesn't even need the GPS. It just needs your Wi-Fi.
GCHQ could still... GCHQ can switch... Well, wait, no. The Americans, GCHQ can probably do it as well. Yeah. Can switch, even if you switch your phone off, they can switch it on and switch the mic on and listen to it.
Yeah.
What if... So it's my phone, nuts. My phone at the moment currently only works if I have it plugged in at the wall.
Maybe not then.
None of the apps work on it. And I think possibly I've been texting my mum and she's not been getting them.
Are you sure you don't have a landline?
Can you take stuff a landline?
Apps aren't working on
that. That would be really useful. my absolute shit state of my personal phone is a bone of contention at the moment.
I can't type T on my keyboard.
No.
So.
You can't type T?
And it's, I think it's one of the most common letters in the English language. Like, after like E and maybe A or something, T. It's an absolute nightmare.
Oh, dear. Oh, well.
So the death of the high street.
We were having a high street special, weren't we?
Yeah.
Well, I was thinking, Dunfermline's
done not too bad.
There's been a few reopenings recently. Aye. So, like, our McDonald's, the old McDonald's site on Dunfermline High Street was closed for a number of years, but recently reopened as a new coffee shop. Has anyone been yet?
It does burgers and stuff as well. We were going to go one day, but it was absolutely ram-packed, so we ended up down.
Yes, I walked past it, and I usually get coffee before I've been to it, and then I go, oh, I meant to try a place for coffee.
Yeah.
But I've heard mixed reviews. Some folk are saying that it's been terrible, slow service and things haven't been great. And then other people saying actually they've enjoyed it. But then it's a new place that's open and everybody's going there. Yep. So that's...
It looks a bit big for what it is.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
McDonald's was huge. Have they got upstairs as well?
No, it's weird. When you walk in, you can still see where the stairs were, but they've just knocked them the fuck out. And then there's a landing. And it's just like, I don't understand.
A landing you can't get to because there's no stairs anymore.
But you can see like where the stairs were on the side of the wall and that. In terms of like redecor, it's very simple. But I think it seems to be part of the chic. Yeah.
How many kids absolutely ended themselves on those stairs?
Oh, I know. Like,
always, every time I was there, kids just dying pretty much. Like.
So it feels like there was the empty gaps on the film high street have sort of starting to fill back in again.
Yeah.
But not with... I get annoyed when people talk about the death of the high street and like all these shops are closing down and isn't it awful? Mm-hmm. And what we really need to do is get shops to reopen again. Because, like, I remember when we were growing up, people just used to go at the weekend and going shopping was a thing you did on a Saturday. You would just spend all your day hanging about the shops in like Dunfermline or Stirling or something. Just going to hang about the shops and spend money. Like, that's an activity. It's not an activity. You should only go to the shops if you've specifically got something to buy. And even then, you should only go to the only shops that you need to buy things and you should get it in the shortest time possible and then you should leave immediately again. And I don't think it's necessarily bad that we've moved away from that shopping as an activity culture and we buy things online instead. Because what's happening instead is things like coffee shops are opening up on the high street.
More social.
Exactly. And high streets are becoming more social spaces. And if you think about, so in Dunfermline, we've got this business improvement district group, Dunfermline Delivers, who have been a bit hit and miss over the years and have had some criticism. But actually, they've started doing some pretty good events. They've been organising the Out With Festival. Yeah. They organise the fireworks and things like that. And there's like a recognition that the future of the high street is not hanging out and spending money in shops necessarily. It's having a social space, coming and doing an activity, taking part. It's like a town centre.
Look at also the Fire Station Creative. That started with a couple of units in the Kingsgate that were empty.
Yep.
And they started sort of giving them out to community spaces. Yeah. And the fire, it was, I think it was the, what was it, Dunfermline, was it CAD?
Oh no, the arts, Dunfermline Arts, Contemporary Arts. Contemporary arts, that was it.
And that is what then they had these units, and you were able to go in, and they got you sitting down and doing a bit of drawing. Even if you'd never done it before, they were just like, come down and just threw something at you and draw that, or draw something, or, you know, let's put something on some paper, or, you know, it was, and they had little galleries and stuff, and it was nice. It was actually nice. And then from that, they got a lot of public support, public backing, and ended up getting the fire station building when the fire station moved out.
Yeah.
And look at that. That's gone strength to strength.
That's the thing, is that it's either got to be a service, like a cafe or a restaurant, or bar, like barbers and them and salons and that do stupidly well. Because people want to spend money on that sort of thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Or what you were saying, like, it's like creating a social space, like Little Shop of Heroes.
I was just going to say, Little Shop of Heroes, which has,
if I was a teenager, if I was like 12 years old and Little Shop of Heroes opened, I wasn't that geeky, but that would have, I mean, I was geeky for sci-fi but stuff, not for like Warhammer, but that would have pushed me over the edge. I would be in there like all the time, you know.
Do you know what I miss though? Do you know what we're still really missing? In the fact, there's not many of these left, but a good record shop. You just don't get enough of them anymore. And I do miss going and listening to music and flicking through records and CDs
and posters and
posters. Mm-hmm. I almost dropped
into Groucho's.
Guess who worked in Our Price and Music Zone at one point in their life?
I never. No, I did not work in either.
I worked in
the V shop.
It was Debbie that worked in Music Zone. Everybody, and I thought you worked in Music Zone.
I never worked in Music Zone. I worked in the V shop.
I thought you did
for about 2 months, and then it went bust. And we were the Christmas temp, so we all got sacked first.
V shop was always Our Price.
To be fair, it was
still red as well.
Yeah, it was totally. It was only V shop for about a year, I think. That was the year I worked there. So,
it's interesting. Like, you know, Dave McGregor, Funky Dave. He's now a jazz guitarist.
Yeah.
Somebody we know, people.
Sorry. He put up recently, so he's like a musician now, and he teaches music, and he goes around doing music. And he was asking on his Facebook, like, what. How do you consume music now? Because I think he was thinking about maybe putting out a CD release or a vinyl release. But thing is, I was like, what I do is almost everyone is stream. And I was like, I stream, but every year I buy a few releases from smaller acts. But I don't even buy vinyl because I don't have any, my decks are fucked these days. So I've just been doing it on a Bandcamp digital release. But usually for smaller acts. And I buy a few of them a year.
Yeah.
And it soothes my conscience because I know that we're not getting any money from streaming. They get fuck all.
I know.
Unless you're a massive act.
I know. No, I'm terrible. I'm that person that moans about the decline of the record shop when I haven't bought a new purchase. I buy secondhand vinyl, which is
funny. Though, because then,
there's a market for vinyl now. Like,
it really is.
Did you meet my cousin Trevor from Canada? Speaking of earlier. You did.
Yeah, I've met him.
No.
Well, he's now moved a bit out of the city. Out of Toronto, and has opened a record shop. With his wife.
And cool,
but then, I would
be more inclined to buy new CDs if my delightful other half put them back in the fucking case afterwards. We put a new CD player in our van, and I thought, oh great, we'll buy lots of like CDs so we could listen to it. The CDs are all over the van. I opened the glove box the other day, and there was a CD inside a half-eaten pot of hummus. I'm not joking yet. It is a disgrace. If you're listening to this, Craig, put the fucking CDs back in the case after you've listened to them.
That's right, Fife Club, airing out your dirty laundry live on air. No, yeah, like I was saying, like we've taken up buying a lot of vinyl. I mean, we bought a record player, but it was on the back of actually buying vinyl because there was bands, like local bands and that, who were releasing new stuff, and it was sort of like, yeah, we actually want the vinyl.
It's a nice thing to have, and it's to hold. Well, and I mean, art. And
I'll
stuff
give
like
you
that.
A classic example is one of our top albums this year on the list is I don't actually think I've talked about the presentation of it, but is Aidan Moffat and R.M. Hubbert's Ghost Stories for Christmas, their Christmas album. I got that. It's got some lovely artwork, sort of print on the front, sort of white surround. Open it up, and the first thing you're presented with is the record sleeves, like, looks like cheap, kind of feels like it as well, cheap Christmas paper, cheap old print Christmas paper. And that was like quite nice. And then as you keep opening it up, discover it's white vinyl. Something else which was like quite kind of cool because there's not a lot. Yeah. So you've got that. Then pull that out. Inside is a Christmas card. Signed by the guys, genuine sign with a limited release number on the back of it, with a little download code for the album, and it was just, again, it was sort of like a very typical sort of naff print Christmas card, but you could see the thought and preparation that had been put into all of that. What else? There was something else that was inside the box. There was something else that gave, but then the box that it came in, that it was sent in, I went to go and chuck that out, and just as I did, I heard something rattle inside it, looked inside, there's another Christmas card, this is a blank one, which is a picture of both Aidan Moffat and R.M. Hubbert standing around a Christmas tree with Christmas jumpers on, looking miserable as fuck with Happy Christmas. And it was just, there was just all these little things, like I say, it was the gift that kept giving. As I kept opening things, details, I was taking pictures, putting up on Twitter, just sort of saying, guys, this is brilliant. And it was so, I haven't had an experience with an album like that for such a long time. That, you know, you used to get that with loads of artists and CDs. Waste and Light, the Foo Fighters album, a couple of years back, well, probably about 10 years back now, that came out, and I remember getting it in the mail in the morning. I was going to work and I had taken it with me because I had my little CD player with me as well. I was like, I'm going to sit and listen and enjoy this. Met one of my pals at the bus stop, waiting on the bus. We were both having a wee look at it, pulled it out. There's a nice booklet with lyrics and stuff. Again, something that's quite nice in there. As I was flicking through it, something slipped out of just a little bit of what looked like paper slipped out of the thing and hit the ground. And I was like, what's that? Grabbed it. And it looked like a bit of magnetic tape. I was like, I wonder if it's some kind of security device or something. Popped it back in and put it away. A week later, they were on Radio 1, I think, promoting the album. And Dave Grohl and Taylor Hawkins said that they'd spent hours cutting up the master tape.
Whoa!
And putting an inch inside the first however many, and it was just like, that's fucking sweet. So I've got an inch of the master tape.
Oh, that's amazing. Yeah,
cool stuff, eh?
It's really cool.
Yeah.
On the Aidan Moffat one, don't you think it could have been more Christmassy if it had a horse with antlers sewn onto its head?
With blood dripping down the side of the horse's head.
And if you listen to that album, that'd be quite in tone with the album.
Yeah, I think so.
That fir tree one is...
Oh, the fir trees. Apparently that's... I want to say Burns or something. It's an old poem by somebody else.
Doesn't sound like Burns.
No, I can't remember. I read it somewhere else and I was just like, it's technically another cover, but it is tragic and beautiful all at the same time.
Go listen to it, listeners.
It's a good album. It's so depressing, but beautiful at the same time. Like, there's a definitely wistful beauty through it. It's a good album. A good Christmas album. but record shops. And it is that thing, like, I think there is a...
When did you last go in a record shop?
Last time... Well, I mean, into HMV in, where were we? Was it Stirling? possibly.
There's still H&B in Stirling in the shopping centre, is it?
Yeah, there is. Yeah, no, it's totally Stirling.
I remember that opening. I remember the March of Shopping Centre opening, and that was the H&B was a big flagship there, and spending loads
it's
of time
still
in
there. And again, it's kind of gone backwards to how it once was, where you've got tons of vinyl. There's just so much vinyl.
Well, I was in FOP the other week, actually.
Yeah, I've been in there as well.
But I can't remember the last time I bought anything that wasn't a book from FOP. Always go in, they've got an excellent book offering.
I always go in looking for CDs and then come out with a book because there's a book sitting there for like £1.50 or £2 or something.
The two for a fiver, they still do it. I don't know how. They've been doing the two for a fiver deal since I was at uni.
It's because they buy books that are about to get pulped.
Yeah. Well, no, but there's really good stuff.
Aye, but it is.
Though,
but it's just stuff that's obviously sat.
We got a collection of Magnum photography. Like, it wasn't like a huge. It was like sort of a small, but it was still a big thick photo book.
It's the sort of thing where at the till they'd have like books by Charlie Brooker.
Or Lemmy. The last one I bought.
Oh, really?
That's your lot.
And then also like they still have lots of like Kurt Vonnegut and Charles Bukowski. Yeah, like,
totally.
Teenage boys and men in their early 20s. Like, really cool, cutting edge literature.
Yeah. It's, sort of FOP, slightly more mainstream, but okay, brother, Coda Music.
Oh, yeah.
Is shutting down.
Where's that? Where's Coda Music?
It was
up on the corner of the mound. No, it wasn't the mound. It was further. Was it the mound?
You've made me think now.
I can't remember where it is.
I can't remember.
Used to be on the corner
of
the mound.
And there was one.
There was actually one in the Prince's Mall as well.
Yeah, I think it's only been in the Prince's Mall for a while.
Right.
I might be wrong.
I don't remember.
It was
this
on one of
all.
The malls. Yeah, Prince's St. James. Yeah, yeah, Prince's. And it was all. I think they also had a store in Stirling in like the outlet thing.
Mm-hmm.
I think they had one there. But it's a couple that own it. And they're retiring. They're just going to shut it down after. It's been going for like 20 years or something.
Do you know another classic? It was Avalanche.
Oh, I loved Avalanche.
But do you know the guy still runs the website and he still does.
He does
like record fairs and stuff like that, and he does specialist online stuff. He keeps talking about maybe try to get the website back up and running. People keep asking him about the shop, but he's just like, it's just not possible to run.
Avalanche is like Avalanche. My two favorite record shops were Avalanche and Groucho's in Dundee.
Groucho's in Dundee was
I think I almost went into that but I had to get a train. I was walking straight past it, and it's been done up a little bit, but it still looked like Groucho's on the inside. I was like, oh man,
third base in town.
where Max, didn't you buy a Bill and Sebastian CD?
He played and played it and played Robbie Williams.
Third base.
He'd totally been ripping his own CDs. Like, it looked fine. It didn't look like a pilot, like a fake copy or anything like that, but he clearly was making his own CDs.
I bought a lot of stuff in there, though. Like,
A
lot of stuff on. I used to buy a lot of tapes in there.
You also
like,
used
when
to
I was younger.
Really
they had a whole a tape section.
I remember buying the Master Plan, the Oasis B-side album. Right, that's actually really good. I remember buying that on tape in there when I was a kid, like double cassette.
Yeah. Like, say, he used to get really good imports as well. So, like,
yes, stuff Incubus. That sort of stuff.
Stuff that had extra tracks or your live tracks and stuff. Because
I remember getting Fungus Among Us by Incubus because he had it in on import.
He also had a very good patch selection. I remember buying multiple patches.
I was never into patches.
You're too cool for patches. All my jeans had patches on them. My bags had patches on them. I remember I had a pair of jeans and it had a patch on the back pocket that was the front cover, the Burning Monk off the Rage Against the Machine.
Rage Against the Machine album.
I fucking love that patch. And actually, I wore the jeans out and I actually cut the patch off it and kept the patch and threw the jeans away. And I don't know what, I wonder if I still got that somewhere. That was my favourite patch.
It's
what an album as well.
Yeah. Oh, record shops. I actually did spend a shit ton of time in like all of those shops.
Yeah. I forgot about third base, which is really
third
bad.
Base wasn't, but again, they were social spaces though.
You went in and maybe bought a CD or a single, or you did something, but you spent a lot of time just flicking and chatting.
And you go with your pals and you go and have a look at them and stuff.
You go to third base and bump into people you'd seen at Tower House. Tower House is like a sort of community center that used to do gigs for kids. kids when we were younger.
Yeah. We used to go and hang out at Tower House. I remember our friend Freya saying, describing it as like biker girl for indie kids.
that's very apt. Absolutely.
It was like half indie kids and like half metalheads.
Yeah, totally.
And I was sort of halved in that way. I was like,
oh, no. Those were the days. We're so
God,
old.
This has just descended into a nostalgia fest. Yeah. We're meant to be like talking about the real political issues around the death of the High Street, and everything comes back to Tower House.
It is what it is, isn't it?
Well, obviously, support your local High Street, guys. If there's a shop you like, if there's a cafe that you like, it's funny,
you're saying about again the death of High Street, but there's big brands like B&Q who are talking about moving into the High Street. So they've never been a High Street. They've always been a retail outlet. But they're talking about moving into the High Street because of the way consumers have changed their spending and their habits. They're not going out to retail outlets now anyway. You know, the big thing was the High Street's dying because people were going out to retail outlets.
Yeah.
That was the first thing.
But people aren't, though. Yeah, people are shopping online. They're just doing different things with their life. They're not fucking shopping all the time.
Like, but bringing them into the High Street means that they can bring in more of the Argos kind of thing where you are not necessarily buying the stuff there, but you're ordering it. You're maybe getting to go in and see examples and samples.
When I discovered that you can get eBay stuff delivered to Argos. Holy shit.
Yeah.
It's really good. And quite often, Argos just lists stuff on eBay for buy it now sort of thing. Yeah. So if it's got that, you can get it instantly. Because I would never check the Argos thing.
Yeah. No.
But on eBay, sometimes Argos just have it. And I'm like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
I bought a bag today in a High Street out of Mountain Warehouse or whatever it was.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But I only went in because I thought, it's January. It's a Mountain Warehouse shop. There'll be a sale on.
Yeah.
So
I went in
a Mountain Warehouse shop. There's always a sale on.
There's always a sale on.
So I got a bag for £14, which I've seen on the internet for 25. So I was like, that's fine.
A rucksack. I need a new rucksack. Yeah. Oh,
it's all right. It's okay. I actually wanted a slightly nicer one, but the problem in Mountain Warehouse is if I wanted a slightly nicer one, it would be a hiking one. It's like I wanted a slightly nicer, just backpack type thing.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Right. You don't want people to think you're about to go up the Eiger.
You're not needing a 65 litre.
Yeah, exactly. That's what it's like. It's like
a 65 litre bag with a platypus and
don't want that. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I only went there because I thought I was gonna order it online, but then I was going to the library to get a book.
So you're in town.
And I thought, I'm in town. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'll do that.
I genuinely do not like buying stuff on the internet. Like, I like to, even if I know exactly what it is I'm after, I like to pick it up and look at it and think about it before I actually physically buy it. And you just don't get that with buying stuff on the internet at all.
Do you know what's, I like buying stuff on the internet because I can research the shit out of stuff.
Yeah, I think that's
research the living shit out of stuff and
but then
it
you get confused. But then you research the living shit, you get confused. Then you get choice paralysis because there's too many to choose from. Mm. And then you don't buy it anyway. That's what happened to me. I end up just not buying it because I can't make up my mind.
I tend to find that I'll look at a few different things and then look at each of them, watch maybe some videos or read some reviews, and then eventually narrow down my choice till it's like that.
But if you're wanting a backpack, say, or a jumper, you're not going to watch YouTube reviews about which backpack or which jumper you're going to buy.
Done for bags.
Mm-hmm. Have you?
Absolutely.
Oh my God.
See, this is a problem with special shops, is that so there's a boxing and MMA and martial arts shop called Seconds Out. It's fantastic in Edinburgh, just at the top of what's the road with Easter Road?
London Road.
London, Easter. No, but it's on an interchange between right at the top loads. So it's probably not actually on that road now. I think about it. It's right at the top of all that where all that meets.
Mm. Abbey Hill area.
Yeah. Okay. And I tried at first to buy stuff from them because then you've got to pay. Either you've got to pay for delivery or they don't stock what you want, and there's so many websites selling stuff that you can usually find what you want at a much cheaper price than it would be in there. So it's like, oh, I'd love to support them, but at the same time it's gonna cost me quite a lot. I will go across there for certain, I'm thinking next time buy a gi and a few other things, I'll go across there because I get to try them on, but other than that, you know, feel bad. So yeah. But so it's kind of a double-edged sword. I won't support it, but yeah, I save so much money.
No, I get that as well. I mean, again, Little Shop of Heroes is an example of something where I would maybe go and look online to see, let's say, graphic novels. If there's something that's I've heard about or taken my fancy, I'll actually go in there first and see if they can order it for me. And sometimes they can, sometimes they can't. And if they can't, then I go online. And sometimes, again, I might pay a little bit more for going into Little Shop of Heroes than I would online. But so there is that
support
whole...
Support your local business.
Support your local business. But then I also get to go in there and I have a chat and the weather. And, you know, it's again, it's that community thing. So
That's the thing, a guide seconds out. It's sound as fuck.
Yeah.
Really sound. You know,
and it comes back to that that tactical touch feel, and like being able to talk to somebody that knows their product, inside out, that they can give you the best advice.
Yeah.
So there is definitely there's totally still a space for that type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's just whether or not it survives.
Well, you know, if people spend money in these places, then they'll survive. If people demonstrate that they want them, they'll survive.
But then it's supported by social spaces.
Yeah,
now.
Exactly. But if people just watch YouTube videos and reviews and then order stuff online, then we'll not have any of these shops left.
Love a good review and unboxing video. Absolutely love it.
I don't watch unboxing.
Unboxing videos?
That's taking it too far, mate.
I don't know.
You've crossed the line.
To me, there's a whole... Like, I watch yoga videos on YouTube. Do yoga sometimes at the house just on my own. Sometimes I watch a video and stuff like that. But on the back of that, I get all these recommendations for all these, like, subscription unboxings that I don't know. This obviously targeting women a lot and women who are interested in healthcare and fitness and stuff like that. But unboxing of subscriptions is a really big thing. And honestly, people that spend, like, £100, well, they don't spend it because they get sent it for free by the company. But this is, like, £100, and every month you get, like, a new tiny yoga tank top and an ohm candle and a little booklet about rebalancing your chakras, and that's it. But and then, these people get like feign such excitement about this bullshit.
Look at things like loot boxes or loot crates.
What's that?
It's basically the same but for geeks.
Yeah, so you pay like £25 a month and you get a box of stuff sent to you.
Random
you'll get a comic, a t-shirt, a Funko Pop toy. There'll be loads of different things of different
And is it successful?
They are successful. But they're also tons of these things sprung up very quickly because you needed no capital to start them. Because it's a subscription service, you basically said, right, pay the money and at the end of the month we'll put a box, so you don't know what you're getting
and you pay for it in advance.
So then what happens is they have the money. Once they get to a certain date, they say, well, this is how much money we've got. What can we buy for that much money? And then fill the boxes and then send them out. And then, you know, but they'll choose things which are cheap but maybe cool. And then that means that the word of mouth then starts going. And tons of them sprung up, but tons of them are dying now as well. What it did do was reignite that getting something in the mail.
But if everyone's buying stuff online, they get stuff in the mail anyway. It's a surprise, I suppose.
Yeah, it's that sort of thing, like, you know, getting a letter that you don't know what it is, or getting a parcel that you don't know what it is.
So I've just realised here, I'm going on about these terrible box subscriptions. I get a fish box once a month.
Slightly different.
Once a month, I get a box full of fish in the post, and I don't know what's got. I got my fish box today. It's super exciting. I got hake. Got lemon sole, got a bit of smoked trout. It's really, massively
exciting.
Do
you know ones that are targeting me at the moment? The whiskey boxes.
Yeah, me as well.
You get four boxes for like £15 a month. Four
miniatures. That must be incredibly expensive. It's full bottles of whiskey.
Four miniatures for like £15-20 a month.
The ones I've seen of that, the examples they give, I don't know if it's just because they're giving examples, but they're all like...
just generic.
Generic, like Fiddick. You know, stuff that you'd try all the time. Whereas I'm like, no, I want the weird shit.
Yeah.
Surely it's only kind of the relatively more mainstream ones that produce miniatures.
No, it's a pretty big market.
Is it a big market?
Yeah,
all
but
right,
then,
okay.
Like, what a lot of these companies would do is buy multiple bottles and then miniature them.
Right. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
Label on it. Themselves. So it's like independent bottling type stuff.
Right.
Although there's the other one that that do keep trying to get me to buy is Compass Box. And I remember at the Edinburgh, at the Whiskey Fringe, we sat and talked to them for a while as they tried to convince us. But it's like, what, 48 quid a month or something like
what?
That? Well, there's different levels, but I think the lowest is about 48 quid a month, but you get a bottle.
Yeah. You get a full bottle, yeah.
Compass
yeah.
Box were one of the... They're like the original of the new school of independent bottlers. Like, there's been independent bottlers forever. But they did... They actually got in trouble with the Scotch Whiskey Association because they were putting staves into their spice tree in the first release, which is like a stave's like a bit of a barrel that you stick in of a different kind into the barrel, like just in the middle. Like you might stick a few in because it changes the flavour.
Okay.
But the Scotch Whiskey Association was, oh, you can't call that Scotch now. And there was a big thing about it. That actually helped like solidify their place as like the new cool kid.
Yeah.
So their independent bottling's really good, but they were trying to sell us hard on this subscription. And we were wasted. And we were still
drinking
like,
their whiskey, but just like, no.
It's like, fantastic, wasn't it? That's too, come on. Come on, son.
Just not happening. Anyway. A month. Welcome, one and all, back to the specially constructed imaginary nine-sided nonagon for another fantasy fight club. Suggest you all settle in for we have another tremendous fight card of maybe one or two fights tonight for you good folk out there. If you are not familiar with the format yet, then I shall explain. Each of us pits two fighters into the nonagon to battle. These fighters can be anyone or anything. We then mull over their faults and merits and how we think the fight would go. We then all decide on a winner. So let's get ready to ramble.
Yeah.
Raining it.
No, it's Cutchy's computer. We make the joke every time it Cutchy's computer sounds like it's raining inside it.
Yeah. It's raining.
We say that all the time. It's like, Cutch, why is it raining inside your computer?
Yeah. Silent producer asks me that all the time as well. It's like, is it raining? No, it's just my laptop. But yeah, we've talked a lot about the death of the high street, sort of. So we kind of run out of time, but we're going to do a fight at least, if not
high
two.
Street fights.
Yeah, and we're going to do some high
classic,
street fights.
There's nothing better
bum fight
than
the high street.
But yeah, than a fight on the high street. Usually on a Saturday night.
Yeah.
Someone who's totally pissed. I remember seeing the street pastors once. This guy had just been like knocked out basically and he was on the ground and they were just all standing around him not doing anything.
What?
I was like, I put him in the recovery position.
Yeah,
hang on a minute, Jimmy, though. Were they praying for him? No.
They were maybe giving him sandals, which we do for girls in high heels.
Thoughts
I mean,
prayers.
They generally do good things, but I was like, come on, guys, put him in a recovery position. Like, yeah. At least. He walked past, wasted myself.
Yeah. Shouted, put him in the fucking recovery position!
He's quite literally sparkle on the ground and you're just staring at him. Great.
Yeah.
Oh, fantastic.
And then someone I knew walked past and thought I'd like punched him to the ground. So I'd you do it. No. Bloody hell.
I'll try to help him.
Yeah.
Telling you, prayer's a powerful thing. You can put a man in the recovery position if you pray hard enough.
Yeah. Recovery position, just put two hands together. I have a fight.
Yeah.
So... high street themed.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to go for Acorn Pet Store.
Oh.
All the pets in the pet store versus peacocks, but it's a building which is a peacock. It's a building sized peacock made out of concrete and bricks.
So do you want to explain a little bit further about some of these shops in case people don't know? This is local.
So is Acorn local? I think it's a chain, isn't it?
Well, Acorn's no longer exists.
We know the family owners of Acorn.
Yeah. Is it
Erskine's family.
Oh yeah, because he helped bring it out, didn't he? Yeah, he helped do it. Yeah.
But it went bust.
So there was a few. It started in Dunfermline. The one in Dunfermline by the bus station was the original.
And then there was a few other ones opened.
But then it rolled back to just like a few around about Dunfermline, and then it went bust altogether.
Yeah, just like sound control.
Yep.
So it's so it's a pet store, a chain, and. What does peacocks do? Like clothes and shit.
People know peacocks is like a national like was again got bust, but it was like ladies cheap ladies.
Except they're not still one.
The only peacocks left in the country is in the co-op in Stornoway.
Yeah.
And I don't know where they get their clothes from or whatever, but because it was like a concession in the co-op, they kept it open and you can still get peacocks there.
Yeah.
But Dunfermline, it was specifically famous in Dunfermline
because
Clive.
Because Clive the peacock. We have peacocks in Dunfermline that have like keys to sit and just roam about. He went and stood outside the place, and the guys on the CCTV sent it in. And this is how much news there is in Scotland. Yeah. It got on reporting Scotland.
Yeah, there's like, wow. a peacock outside peacocks.
Standing outside peacocks. But well, now imagine Clive made out of bricks and mortar and the size of a shop. Versus, let's say 60 animals of various kinds. And the animals want to fight. They have bloodlust.
Right. You say various kinds of, but it, like, Acorn Pets only had specific...
Hamsters, minor birds.
Fish, did it have fish in it?
Fish, budgies.
Yeah, well, we like can make, we can make, we can make, maybe the arena, rabbits. We can make the arena just like the Roman, the Colosseum. They used to flood that. To recreate sea battles.
they
did. I went there and I said, are you not entertained a lot? But we could have it semi-submerged so the fish can get on the action as well. Actually, I'm going to change it. The peacock is a shop-sized real peacock because it was made out of cement and stuff. They would never get it. Right. So who would win? Would it be like loads of them working together to bring it down, or would the peacock's massive strength just destroy them all?
Well, I think something we have to add here, though, if the peacock is actually Peacock's the clothes shop, but a peacock, it's going to be weighed down by a lot of shit polyester clothing, isn't it? Like, the peacock's going to have so many clothes on, because it's going to have a whole shop of clothes, that's going to inhibit his ability to put his tail up. It's going to make it very tired quite quickly. It's going to get wet because you've flooded the arena. So I think he's at a disadvantage.
But if you're also talking about, like, all these animals from Acorn Pet Shop, you've got to hope that they form some kind of language between them that they can then communicate how to work together to bring down.
Yeah, that's true. I just think peacocks used to hang around my flat a lot. I've seen a lot of peacocks, and peacocks used to get beaten up by seagulls. Right? The seagulls would dive bomb the peacocks. So, like, you're coming into our peacocks with their massive necks would almost always survive, like move out the way. But, and you know, many peacocks and peahens and farmlands got done in by dogs.
Oh yeah.
So I think
it's because they're shite at flying.
I think the peacock would be all about trying to look good and display, be all flash and no smash. And
flash and no smash.
I'd go for the acorn animals.
The United Army of Acorn.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Need a decision, guys. Come on.
Yeah.
I just can't get past the image of the peacock having peacock's clothes on.
What if there was a horse with reindeer antlers stapled to its head?
No, that would be the adjudicator. Like, the horse would
be
the adjudicator on the race.
Respect for sparkly antlers.
Yeah, because he's from Kirkcaldy, remember?
Oh, yeah.
Whereas this is a Dunfermline animal.
And they don't have any high street shops in Kirkcaldy.
I don't even think they ever had a peacocks. It was that shit.
I think just for the local sake of it, I'm going to go with Acorn as well.
Oh, there you go.
Did Acorn have like snakes and scorpions and shit like that?
I think they had at some point they had snakes and lizards.
They had lizards, definitely. Because for a long time, when I was a kid, I really wanted a lizard. Mm. And I pestered my mum about it for literally like 2 years.
I think they would have the odd egg every now and then as well. And
it's like, I want a chameleon.
Yeah.
And I really wanted a chameleon for so long. And I actually researched it. I got books out of the library about chameleons, about lizards. And my mum kind of taught me around for years, drilled this into my head. And now I actually believe it. And I was like, oh, actually, keeping lizards in such a small place is cruel. But now I actually believe that. not for tortoise. Kutch has a tortoise, but for lizards.
God,
like,
I forget you've got a tortoise. Yeah. Where is it? Is it upstairs?
Upstairs.
You're that poor tortoise. You never get to see the light of day.
No, he does.
You never
He's
get him
right
out.
Right beside a window.
Yeah, no, but you don't bring him out. We should get the...
No, he does get out.
You should get him on the podcast.
We should have Leo as a guest on the podcast. That's what... Wait, rotating Jamie, guest, Leo.
Jamie, this isn't the Magic Tavern.
Oh, no, we should. Leo's great. He loves pansies. He loves
dandelions.
Dandelions.
Yeah, I know.
It is great when I come round and I see Leo out in the garden in the summer. I'm like, yes, Leo!
I do remember now that you've built him like a little run thing in the garden, haven't you? So he can run around the garden. You should get Leo on the podcast, definitely.
That would be the most boring podcast.
Did you ever actually... Sex Leo.
Yeah.
But I mean sex and not have sex.
No, no, I've
I know he did the first, I knew he did that, but
fuck you. I've told you this story before, but because it, when you initially get them, you don't tend to know what sex they are until they're about five.
But I couldn't remember if you actually
were. Yeah, and then they suddenly start having noisy sex.
Well, yeah, because there was one day he was in on his favourite Baskin rock and
I remember
making a noise like this. And I was like, what the fuck is going on? And he was straining his neck and he was up on his... And I lifted him, and when I lifted him, I shit myself. I thought he'd prolapsed at first. Until I realised, no. Tortoises have massive fucking schlongs. Like, massive. Like, almost the full size of his carapace. Like, his shell, underneath of his shell. Like, almost the full size. And... they look kind of like the Starship Enterprise at the end. It's like a saucer section. They're it's fucking horrendous.
It's like a desk, basically.
Yeah. But then when you think about how...
Oh, is that like a barb, though? Like, dogs have that so that they don't fall out. Once they've got it, they don't fall out.
If you think about the sort of logistics of a tortoise...
Well, quite a way to go to get inside the lady hole, haven't they? So
what a conversation.
But yeah, but that's when I found out my tortoise was
definitely
was a boy.
Yeah, there definitely. You go.
Life finds a way.
Okay. Well, I'm going to go for Clive just to stand up for Giant Clive.
Giant Clive.
And I also think Giant Clive would be pretty scary. Like, I know that they get attacked by seagulls eggs, but they
peacocks
can be a bit. They can be quite scary at normal size.
If you're a kid with food, they've got you.
Yeah, exactly. I know. So, I'm just going to... I've got Clive's back. I think he would win.
I'm going to go with Acorn.
Acorn.
Acorn
as wins,
well.
Yeah.
Well, I think we've actually come... to time, maybe.
Have you got another one? Or should we just finish it?
I think we should just probably finish it.
Yeah, keep it tight.
We've done an episode.
It was themed.
Are you not entertained?
It was a themed ramble chat.
Yeah, it was good.
Can we sing the Adam Buxton song, or is that probably copyrighted?
Ramble chat.
We'll talk first on this, then talk some first, say down that.
It's a podcast. It's public domain.
I wonder how many songs Adam Buxton's written and he's...
Oh, like, God,
I know.
Yeah.
Like, between like Adam and Joe Show and radio.
And
he's doing different ones every week on...
Yep.
Yeah.
And he does tons for his own podcast. Yeah, I think he writes jingles for other folk as well.
And his stand-up shows.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just little bits.
A music machine.
Yeah. So, okay. Hope you enjoyed that, guys. Really does bring me to that time of the night where I have to ask, Mags... what's our motto this week?
Support your local high street. I'm not even going to try and make it funny. I'm just going to go out there, support your local high street. Unless you're in Kirkcaldy and you don't have one, then you
then
can come
to Dunfermline.
Come to Dunfermline and support our high street, which just off the high street still has a pancake place.
And
fuck
you know
yous.
What? You'll be able to come and breathe some decent air because, you know, between linoleum and moss moorin, there's not a lot going up in Kirkcaldy.
Come to Dunfermline. Best high street in Fife.
Indeed. I think that'll do.
Good night.
Night.
Bye.
Hello, Radio Haver. We're Fife Club, a podcast from the Kingdom where some friends discuss everything and anything that take their interest, putting their world to rights.
But today is officially, apparently, Europe Day. Did not know
for
Europe
the last
Day.
Time.
We also pit fighters against each other in our imaginary nonagon.
My fight, it's between the Thai boys who arrested from the cave and the Chilean miners.
So, Mark, what's your Fight Club?
Well, lads, it's time to talk Nonsense Candies.
The Werther's Original versus the Murray Mint.
Oh, wow. And in Desert Island Dicks, we bring things to our desert island to help us survive.
For a classic, like a really good, a good lad, man's best friend, so the honey badger.
I'm going to bring a very large vacuum flask to keep our tea/coffee warm.
Yes.
I'm taking a Dura flask of tea to the island.
If any of this sounds like your thing, then what is wrong with you, and why don't you give us a listen on Radio Haver?
Fife Club, Scotland's premier fife-based podcast.
Want to know more? Get us at fiveclub.co.uk.